Happy Holy Days.
I want you all to just close your eyes and listen to this. It's very short. Love is calling, will you answer? This week of Advent, we turn to focus on love. And there are many things that I could quote about love, such as, love is a many splendored thing. Love lifts us up where we belong. And all you need is love. Love plays a part in the life of every individual. It is our nature to love. We embrace love as the self-givingness of God to all creation, moving through us into full expression as compassion, as caring, mutual respect, and kindness. And we express unconditional love when observing the suffering of others and then doing what we can to give aid and to live our compassion. Love is the most universally recognized and most frequently misinterpreted of the 12 powers. It is a part of life and living, and without love, the people truly will perish. As those who are seeking to unfold all the faculties under power, they must be God-directed in doing so. And under the 12 powers is what I meant to say. They must be under God direction to do so. Then we can be guided into the right use and development of this power. And as we let the divine interpretation of love unfold in our lives, we will find that it opens the door to experiences of God's good, above and beyond anything we have ever thought was even possible. In spirit, love is the pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family. It is the harmonizing, healing, unifying, attracting power in the universe. In nature, it works as gravity. In divine mind, it is the idea of universal harmony and unity, that which binds together the whole of God's creation into one harmonious unit, so that even the tiniest of movements, a person's finger, displaces atoms out in space, and the thoughts and the feelings of our civilization combine to form a race consciousness which determines the future of all humankind. And we are linked with everything in God's creation. And the only place we can ever be separate from it is in our own thinking and feeling nature. Love is. Love continues to be. Just as the sun continues to shine, whether or not we know it is there, whether or not we can even see it, whether or not we even believe it. On the level of mind in the human plane, love, also that sense of oneness with all, is the power that draws people together and family and friends united as one. Also in mind, at a higher level of development, it can be the inner light that enables us to see good in all persons, to identify with the higher nature of other individuals, even when they fail to express it. As Charles Fillmore explains, love is an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. It insists that all is good, and by refusing to see anything but good, it causes that quality finally to appear uppermost in itself and in all things. The love center in the body is the heart. So just go to your heart right now. Just go to your heart. Just be in touch with gratitude, all for which you can give thanks. And in so doing, that love starts to permeate your being, and you start to exude love. And as the heart circulates life-giving blood throughout the body, so a right concept of love circulates life-giving sustenance through our thinking, feeling nature, as well as through our body of affairs. Development of the God consciousness of oneness, the consciousness of love, enriches all phases of the life that it enters. And in considering the unfoldment of the love faculty, we must make sure that we link it always with wisdom, and that we build both attributes always under the direction of the Christ. As Jesus encouraged and developed the disciples, so we must encourage and develop the faculties that they represent, always remembering to keep the Christ, our own God nature, in charge of all that we do, all that we say, all that we become. More than anything else, Jesus called us to love. To love God. To love ourselves. To love each other. And we are to love our enemies as well as our friends. And on a personal note, the Lord's Prayer really helps with that. When you get to that one little stanza that says that we will also forgive those who trespass against us. I was in prayer the other day, and I was saying that prayer, and there was a woman, for some reason unbeknownst to me, who told some untruths about me. I don't know what motivated it. And the good news is that my character and my reputation precedes me. So the person that she shared this with, who actually is a scheduler for one of the firms that I work for, he said, "I'd like to hear your side of the story. Where is this coming from?" And so it was in that moment when I was praying, I had to forgive this person for trespassing against me. And I know not why she did, but I sent love and I sent light to that person. And then I prayed that I'd never be on one of her accounts ever again. But what happened? You know what happened. The very next assignment. Now, what they didn't do, they didn't tell me who the account executive was. I wonder why. Because I probably would have refused the assignment. So I had to accept it blindly. Then I saw her name. I'm like, "God forgive me for what I might do." No, I decided that I was going to send love and I was going to send light. There's something going on with her and it has nothing to do with me. And so I wrote her and I CC'd her on all of my correspondence with the client. And again, I was in prayer on Saturday morning and I said, I didn't close the loop. I don't want this woman to have something ugly to say about me. So I stopped praying in that instance and I wrote her an email and said, "The engagement went very, very well. You need not worry about future work with this client. It was a new client." And I said, "All is well." Then I went back to prayer. So we are to love our enemies as well as our friends. And Jesus knew that unconditional love changes lives and changes our world. Love is always calling us deeper. It beckons us to expand our compassion and understanding, to treat others as we would wish to be treated. And when we live in love, we are radiating the essence of the Christ in us. If we all were to rate ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10 on how well we obey the biblical command to love others as ourselves, probably most of us would put down a 7, 8, you know, a few of us might even dare to put 9 or 10. But I have a sneaky suspicion that most of us think, well, I'm basically a loving person. I try to love everybody. But I sure wish my mate, I sure wish my kids, I sure wish my employer would just be more loving. But when we stop to think about the fine print in Jesus' command, our ratings might plummet. He said, John 13:34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." The fine print is that phrase, "even as I have loved you." That elevates the command up to Mount Everest kind of command. A very few may make the summit of Everest, but no one lives up there all the time. On rare occasions, we may succeed in loving others as Christ loved us, but none of us will live there constantly because we're humans having a spiritual experience. Jesus' love was conspicuous love. John 13:35. "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus wasn't just talking about having nice thoughts towards others, which no one else can see. He was talking about love that can be seen. It stems from the heart, but it is seen outward in our actions, in our behavior, in our demeanor, in our character. It's a sort of love that stands out conspicuously in this self-centered, egocentric world. Now, a few weeks ago, I got to speak, and in Freddie's introduction of me, he talked about the fact that I like to engage y'all. And then I realized I've spoken several times this year and I haven't engaged you. So guess what? It's engagement time. And there are multiple parts to this activity. The first part is I'm going to have you discuss something, and I'll tell you in just a moment what that is. But the second part is I'm going to up-level our personal accountability. And what that means is that I'm challenging you all to post on the Unity Center of Light's Facebook page or my Facebook page all the ways that you have answered the call to love. And it's just during the Advent season. How about that? Starting today, and we'll end it at year end. How about that? So we start our new year feeling really good about ourselves, that we have made a difference in somebody else's life. And so what you'll do is you'll engage in your expression of love in the way in which the situation requires. And then I want you to post it. Go to the Facebook page, and the hashtag is Live in Love. I am living love. So hashtag living love. And so when you put that there, then I know that you've accepted the challenge. And I'm not going to have you do something that I'm not willing to do. And I've already been thinking about what I'm going to do. So I'll share that with you after the activity. So what is your mission, should you choose to accept it? is to discuss in triads, three people, what it is that you're going to do. How are you going to demonstrate, be love, live love for the remainder of this Advent season and beyond? We're just going to be tracking it for the Advent season. And so in order to do that, you have to think about your worldview. What is in your worldview that requires love or requires healing? And so I'll tell you how I came up with this. My daughter just moved to Newark, New Jersey. And so I spend a lot of time in Newark, New Jersey. And I walk my granddog all the time at the park. And during the summer, there were a lot of homeless people living in the park. And so we went there one day this week. I don't remember. I guess it was Thursday. Thursday was a down day. We went to the park. There were no homeless people. Do you know why? It's too cold. And so instantly, I went to, oh my God, what if I were an outside dweller? What would I so appreciate? And when I was in ministry in Baltimore, we had a pretty sizable homeless population. And what we used to do as a congregation is we would make these toiletry boxes. They'd have toiletries, they'd have socks, they'd have gloves, and they had hats. And you might not think that's a big thing, but to those people, it was a very big thing. You would have thought that you had given them a house, custom built to their specification. They were so grateful. So the way that I'm going to live love over the next couple of weeks is I'm going to go back to that, putting together toiletry boxes and just going to the places where I know that they normally are, under freeways, over manholes, on the sidewalk, because they get the steam to stay warm. So all of the places, and in Newark, that's not hard for me to do. I will be there in the next week, and we're going to be passing out boxes. Just enrolled my daughter. So what I'd like you to do now is get into your triads. We're going to allow about 10 minutes for this. So three people get to talk about, in your worldview, where have you seen a need for more love? Because those situations are presented to us. They're in our view for a reason. Because we are the light. We have chosen this path. We have chosen this philosophy. And so to be true to it and to be integrity with ourselves is ours to do. So break into your triads. Where in your worldview have you seen opportunities to demonstrate love? And then proclaim and declare what it is you're going to be doing during this season of Advent, that Advent to bring more love. Are you guys with me? All righty. You can break out in your threes. It goes a little bit faster. We have smaller groups.
Congratulations, so meaningful. Maybe just that day that person is not suffering from hunger pains. Thank you. Somebody else. Come on, I know. Great ideas, y'all are talking a lot.
Hi, good morning. I'm Michelle's daughter. I would like to just say that was not the story we came up with, but she's her example. That'd be great. So I was talking to Joy, she was my partner, and we both work in schools. And so one thing that I said was, so as my mom mentioned, I moved to New York recently, and I took on a very daunting job as a director of operations for a charter school. And so I've been living in a little bit of a bubble the last couple of months. And so my break began on Friday, and Friday afternoon I looked at my phone and I decided to check all the news stories that I used to miss for the last couple of months. And I knew about the devastation and what transpired in Puerto Rico as a result of the hurricane, but I didn't realize how great the devastation was until I finally sat down, looked at my phone, and saw photos of people living a day without power. And I first immediately felt guilty, but I had no idea the destruction was this bad. And then I thought about something that I could do to sort of ameliorate some of the devastation that people are experiencing. And I said, well, I have 361 students at my disposal, and what can we do to ensure that we're having sort of an impact? And so I'm going to do a battery drive for my students when we get back, and we're going to do a simulation where they're going to have to sit in class without the lights for 5 minutes, without the projector, without their dock cams. They don't have cell phones when they come to school, so they already know what that's like. They're going to save you that struggle of the day without power. turn on the AC for a little bit, or open a window, because they have heat. And simulate what it would be like to live without power for 5 minutes, then imagine multiplying that over months and months, and there being no end in sight to when their power is going to be restored. And then doing a battery drive to send to Puerto Rico, because if we're living without power, one thing that would be a huge blessing is to have batteries at your disposal.
Thank you.
Well, we're not necessarily original, but you know, we as a group talked about doing the boxes and toiletries and also food sandwiches for people who are living outside. But we also thought about having the church do something as a group to decide what a collective project might be. And that way, I think we're more assured that we'll actually get, because we can start out with great intentions, but if we're working in a group, there's a greater chance that we'll fulfill whatever our goals are. So that's something that we wanted to put on the table, if we could decide as a church to do something to show more love this season.
Thank you. Who's going to be the point person for that? You do? Thank you very much. Because without that, nothing will happen. Anybody else willing to share? Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. I work in Baltimore. And when I go into my parking garage, there are 5 people on a steamer. And one of the things I have 7 grandchildren. And we have created the caring cousin crew. And I want to extend this idea to you. We get paper bags. We then go to, you know, Walmart or someplace, get cheese and crackers, cookies, juice, and they have a similar line, and they do the bags. So when I'm at a stop and somebody is there, also they write notes of love. And when I'm there, and somebody comes up to my car, I see the Christ in them and handing them the bag. It has been incredible because they bless me constantly. And in that way, they know someone cares. And the other piece that is important, anytime you have some time, if you put a piece of fruit in it, now you can't keep those piled up, but let's say I'm going this weekend and I'm going to put fruit in them. They just can't believe they got a piece of fruit, fresh fruit. So it's something that I'm going to share and extend with others around me in my community, and it might be something we can work together on.
Great ideas, and we have
It's like you said about not being original, but we talked about collecting warm coats and other warm blankets and things to give to people who are out on the street at this time. So we all have old coats that you get tired of, just hanging in the closet. You don't give it to the Goodwill, but the Goodwill is going to sell it. So you can give it directly.
And all very actionable ideas, and doesn't even have to cost you anything, especially if you're going into your closets and you're bringing coats that you no longer wear. Somebody else could use and could benefit from. We used to do coat drives, and actually a couple of years ago I just did my own. And there was a big sale at Burlington, and I bought several children's coats and then took them to a shelter, because in the winter, that's where they go. A lot of folks, during the daytime, they'll be out, but early evening, and it starts to get dark at 4:30, they go to these shelters. And I'd go to the shelters, and I'd just bring the coats. And there were never enough. There were never enough. Yeah. We have a suggestion. Great. So Dee is going to be our point person, and Dee, I'm going to support you in any way that you need, because this is, again, this is, love is just calling me, and I've chosen to answer. So thank you all. A reminder, to be accountable now, all it means is being able to account for what it is that you've done, post it on Facebook. Unity Center of Light, is that okay, Patty? All of the wonderful things that you're doing. And just end your post with the hashtag #LivingLove, and then we'll know that it's a part of the challenge. And so I close with this. Living love entails loving yourself and then extending that love to others. Living love also means practicing acceptance, forgiveness, non-judgment, and compassion. Love is calling you to go deeper than you've ever been before. Will you answer? And so it is.